Chapter 1. The dark and musty space was cramped, and it smelled of mildew and rancid dead things that had mistakenly ended up inside the narrow space between Monger Manor's walls. The hidden crawlspace was actually more of a labyrinth of interconnecting corridors, and they all led to some central location. Whatever was at the center of this maze was only known by the estate's former owner, Gellivane, the duelist and former magistrate I'd killed nearly a week ago, Aventol Standard Time. "Hey, Horus," my voice ricocheted off the high, narrow walls of the corridor, and I craned my neck back to try and see the ceiling, but the light from my duelist stone wasn't strong enough to reach the top.
"What's on your mind, Chief?"
the falcon man with the black feathered crest asked, as his shoulder bumped into mine. "Remind me again what you guys call a week here in Aventol," I requested. Since I'd really embraced this world when in Rome style, I'd had a plethora of helpful people attempting to teach me the ways of their people, and none more helpful than Horus.
"Ah, yes,"
Horus started like some Aventol culture aficionado.
"Ahem, yes. What you call a whack, back wherever it is you come from, hearth, farth, fart?
Earth, you goon," I scoffed. "You know, just like the dirt you walk on. I'm not sure exactly how this translation magic works, but I know I've heard Earth in your Comic-Con."
"Lexicon," he corrected.
"Ugh, whatever," I said. "And it's weak, by the way, not whack.
What you call a week is called a fickle, and one fickle is approximately 8 days,"
Horus recited like a textbook. "Approximately?" I snorted as we both slowed when the corridor ended in a previously caved-in section. "How can you have approximately 8 days?"
"I wasn't very good with astrological mathematics or almanac reading even at the academy," he said, as he scowled at the wall of rubble and then back at the parchment in his hand. "Something to do with how the goddess is feeling that particular fickle."
"Right, clear as mud," I said.
"So, what's the map say now?"
The falcon man held up his glowing stone lantern in order to see the hand-drawn map a little clearer.
"Hmm,"
he hummed, as he examined the mysterious space linked into the map and denoted with a large question mark.
"I actually don't know what's beyond here because Jenna said the original archive Tovish recorded must have been degraded or ruined. Whatever the case, this part of the map was a mystery, even to the old archivist. May Brea guide him."
We both had a moment of silence for the koala elder who recently sacrificed his life so we all could have a chance to escape the Eyry. He also managed to gift us the archives of Gellivane, which, he thought, might have been useful before the paranoid magistrate began torching them all. "May Brea guide him," I murmured.
"I hope you don't still think any of that was your fault,"
Horus half-joked and half-legit asked if I was doing okay.
"I used to at first," I admitted, as I examined the cave-in for any sort of gap toward the top we could tunnel through, but it was still too dim.
"But then I thought that was selfish, because what he did wasn't even about me. He sacrificed himself for the bigger picture, and it reminded me I need to see that picture too."
"Spoken like a true leader,"
the falcon man gave me one of his genuine roguish grins that crinkled the corners of his gold-green eyes.
"You speak like one. One of my good friends. He is the leader of his people."
"Wow, Mr. McVague, did that hurt coming out?" I teased, but clapped him on the shoulder.
"One day I hope you tell me about these mysterious people you were with when you were a fugitive. I'd like to, at least, thank them."
"Oh, stop," Horus gushed obnoxiously like Scarlet O'Hara as he fanned himself with the map.
"I knew you cared about me, Chief. What's a lass to do?"
"Nah, I just need a guy who can read this gibberish and knows about swords." I shrugged as I pointed to an eroded rune etched into the wall next to us.
"You're like a Swiss alchemy knife."
"A what?" the falcon man snorted as he crouched slightly to get a good look at the rune.
"Nothing," I said, and got closer as well. "You're useful, is what I'm saying." "I'd be more useful if I had some more light to read this blasted thing,"
he grumbled. But then he grinned as he took my meaning for what it was.
I'm as close as I can get, I said, and held my stone out as far as it would go, until the wooden carving of the canterfly pendant spun around the taut leather cord.
Then, with a small chinking sound, the tiny creature actually broke free and flew off into the darkness.
Ugh, damn.
I looked around at the ground as I strained my eyes.
You can make the light in your stone brighter, you know, Horace said after watching me tiptoe and squint around for the handcrafted gift Rylan carved for me. I was too afraid to move too much just in case I crushed the delicate thing.
Really? I deadpanned. How then, smartass?
No idea, he said with his typical shit-eating grin.
I just know that's, like, a thing, especially now that you are a fifth-rank duelist.
Thanks. I rolled my eyes before I closed them, and then I focused on the still well of dormant power inside me that I was learning to recognize more and more through meditation these days. Even though I wasn't trying to summon my time-trans powers, I figured that's where all of Avantol's mysterious powers lived inside me. And from there, it was just a matter of willing the light in my stone brighter.
Whoa. Turn it down a bit, maybe, the Falcon Man chuckled as he shielded his eyes.
Sorry, I apologized, and grinned when I instantly found the pendant sitting on a little cushion of moss. I picked it up, wiped a bit of slime off the little guy's intricate wing, and tucked him away in my pocket for safekeeping.
Okay, how's that?
Perfect, Horace said as he inspected the sigil, and his eyes flashed gold as he read the alchemical rune.
Ah, that explains the cave-in. It's a trap rune.
So I'm guessing the actual point of this maze is just on the other side? I huffed. How far do we have to double back?
Not far at all, Horace said, as he turned the map this way and that. Then we can continue on to the next possible corridor that leads to this mystery. Do you think there's treasure, or maybe a really cool artifact that can dry all the feathers on my head at once after I bathe?
Hair dryer, my kingdom for a hair dryer, I snorted as we headed back the way we came.
All right, then, what do you think is there? Horace challenged.
Maybe it's the other half of that book Gavlain gave me, I said. I was bummed the Ares library didn't turn up with anything.
Ugh, I share the sentiment, the Falcon Man grumbled. Mr. Jenner says there are only about 5 volumes of usable and relevant information in all of the tomes he and Tovish recorded so far. I hope there's more, but Jenner hasn't finished cataloging them yet.
Only 5? I asked.
But didn't you guys pull at least 300 off those shelves?
Yeah, he sighed, as we turned left at the end of the passage and continued south.
But I'm glad we at least have that much. Like I've been saying, not many people are crazy enough to combine herald cores.
Everyone keeps telling me that, but I still don't...
A deep rumble suddenly cut off my words.
Oh, did you feel that?
Feel what?
Another rumble, and this time particles of dust and dirt shook loose from the mortar and rained down on the two of us from above.
Roar!
The fuck was that? I whispered, after Horace and I whipped around and peered into the darkness where the unsettling roar sounded from.
Roar!
I don't know, but run!
Horace yelled as the unnerving galloping of some large quadruped sped up and it snarled ravenously behind us. We both took off down the corridor at a dead sprint, and I simultaneously focused on the beam of my stone light so we could see as far ahead as possible.
H?
I squinted into the distance with my eagle eyesight. We're coming up on a fork. What do we do?
Working on it,
he grunted as he tried to flatten the map and run at the same time.
Roar!
The beast behind us sounded even closer than before, and I darted ahead of Horace a few paces.
Horace!
I yelled.
Left!
The Falcon Man hollered, and I careened around the corner just as Horace apparently changed his mind.
Right! I meant...
I slammed on my heels as a red light flashed from the weird symbol carved into the wall on my right. Another trap rune.
Back!
I ordered, and something cracked from above.
This part of the ceiling is going to collapse! The creature!
Horace reminded us as we both pushed hard in order to make it past the fork before the proverbial minotaur to this fucked-up maze trapped us.
Roar!
The thing rounded the corner a second before we made it. Its head looked like that of a warthog crossed with a rhinoceros beetle, and it raced along the ground on all fours like some sort of hairy bear human. Oh, and it was also 7 feet tall, stooped over.
Horace! I yelled, and urged him faster with a shove to his shoulder. As if we were in sync, the Falcon Man bolted ahead so he could slide under the monster's bowed legs while I came to a stop and planted my feet. When the Minotaur creature glanced back up after confusedly watching Horus slide under him like he was sliding for home plate, I was able to actually roundhouse kick it in its distended jaw. It shrieked, stumbled, and then glared right at me with its four roomy and crusty eyes as it struggled to work its lopsided mandible. "Oh, shit," I mumbled, as it snorted and stamped its back feet at me like a furious bull with a hot poker up its ass. "Chief, run!" Horus bellowed, right as the rest of the buckling ceiling caught up with us. Large hunks of stone threatened to crush every one of us, and instead of fighting each other, the Minotaur creature and I ended up just trying to run for our lives as the rune sealed off the corridor and separated Horus and me from each other. The dust cleared as I took the time to catch my breath against the wall, and the Minotaur creature wheezed and slobbered like a geriatric Rottweiler that had just ran up a flight of stairs. Great gobs of putrid greenish ichor flung from its broken jaw, and with a disgusted grimace, I backed away as soundlessly as possible and slipped around the next corner. My heart hammered inside my ribcage, but I turned and raced down the corridor and willed my feet to grow wings like Hermes before came the garbled roar of the creature, just as I skidded down a corridor on my left. I tried to make my footfalls as silent as falling snow, and prayed to Mercedes I lost the Minotaur creature.
"Chief!"
Horus's faint voice sounded through the walls up ahead, and I skidded to a halt in order to listen better.
"Chief!"
I held my stone up and increased the beam to see down the corridor to my left, and then to my right. I decided to take a chance and called out,
"H!"
Suddenly, mechanical grinding and clinking started up, and my decision was made for me as all of the corridors began to shrink and collapse either vertically or horizontally and forced me into any available gap or cubby. I rolled to my right and army crawled until I finally spilled out from under the ceiling of one shrinking corridor like Indiana motherfucking Jones.
"Alex!"
Horus called over the din of the mechanical roaring, and I spotted the Falcon Man in the center of the large chamber on a pedestal that slowly rose from the middle of the floor.
"Hurry! Jump on!"
"Rawr!"
The Minotaur creature finally found its way into the center and rushed at me like a freight train on fire.
"Fuck!"
I screamed, and sprinted for the revolving pedestal just as Horus loosed one of his longbow arrows. The deadly projectile harmlessly bounced off the hard dome of the creature's head, and only caused the beast to snort and pick up steam.
"Jump!"
he yelled, and he dropped to his stomach and flung an arm out just as I leapt through the air.
"Gah!"
I roared as I reached hard for Horus's extended right hand, as the creature snarled and jumped after me.
"I got you!"
the Falcon Man said, and strained to pull me up by the wrist, and my feet scrambled for purchase against the smooth stone.
"Row!"
A long claw caught the leather strap across my boot and threatened to drag me down.
"Hold on!"
Horus strained as he used both hands to grip me around my arm.
"Get off, you fuck!"
I hollered, and bashed the Minotaur creature in its unhinged jaw again, and felt the sickening crunch as I further pulverized its face. It howled, clawed at my leg once more, and finally fell when I kicked my foot free of the boot it was gripping onto. The beast squealed until it hit the bottom with a wet thud and was quiet.
"Up you go!"
Horus grunted as he pulled me over the lip of the pedestal, and we both gasped for breath, flat on our backs as the pedestal finally came to a stop, inches away from a metal ladder.
"What did you even do?"
I finally had the breath to ask, and I turned my head to look at my trusty second with his roguish grin.
"I found the center of the maze, and there was this turny lever thing, and I... never mind. I can't believe you did that," he exclaimed. "What the frocks even was that, Alex?"
"Some sort of horrible minion experiment gone wrong," I muttered, as I got to my feet and dusted the dirt off my shoulders and out of my somewhat shaggy hair. Then I glanced down at my bootless foot and scowled.
"Oh, man. These were my favorite. No, not the creature. I meant, where in the dark hells did you learn how to kick like that?"
he iterated.
"And also, can you teach me?"
Sure, I'll teach you, I said absently, as I examined the skinny pillar structure Horace must have been talking about, because it was the only thing on the smallish platform of interest. When I scrutinized it more, I noticed a dial-like mechanism that looked like it could be turned a quarter of the way to either the upright or horizontal position. But the thing about this structure that definitely stood out was the inverted claw, machine claw thing that looked as if something was meant to balance suspended between its three points. But what, I had no clue.
What do you suspect that's for?
Horace voiced what I was thinking as he gestured to the points. No idea, I said, and then craned my head back. I'm currently more interested in where that ladder goes. Thoughts? The Falcon Man rubbed his chin as he thought for a moment, and then shrugged.
Even if I hadn't lost the map in the frenzy, it's not like it would have given us any clue anyway, so your guess is as good as mine.
Only one way to find out, then, I said. Then I walked over to the ladder, placed my hands on the rung in front of me, and put my booted heel on the first step. Ready?
Lead on,
Horace said with another wild grin. I couldn't help but smirk back, and the excited, blood-surging energy of this adrenaline-fueled madcap adventure buzzed tangibly between us like a live wire. Without further ado, I turned to the task of climbing up the ladder and toward the mysterious hatch on the ceiling. There was a lever that took some elbow grease to get unstuck, and then it felt as if something was covering the lid of the hatch from the other side.
"Push it open!"
Horace said, like the helpy helper schmuck he was.
"Yeah, that's the idea,"
I growled, as I tried to lift the manhole-like hatch. A deep ripping noise sounded as the hatch finally gave way, and when I swung the heavy thing up and off, the loud shrieking of someone in distress rang out.
"Ah! Devils!"
squawked a shrill yet familiar voice.
"Oh, Mercedes B!"
Horace grumbled with a wince as he followed me out of the hole and into the center of the scullery of Monger Manor's upper wing.
"Vile scourge!"
Velralla screeched again as her white-feathered crest fluffed up like a cockatoo, and I held up my hand to forestall the violent bird woman.
"Vel!"
I shouted as I got to my feet.
"Oh!"
She gasped and lowered the broom she was brandishing as a weapon.
Mr. Alex, I'm terribly sorry. I thought... Hey, just what exactly are you doing coming through the floor like that? I almost died of fright.
We didn't mean to, Miss Velly,
Horace said as he turned the wattage up on his boyish charm. You see, we were exploring the walls of this place to make sure you are all safe and sound.
Oh, of course,
the older woman said as her agitated crest slowly lowered back down against her sleek white head.
Oh, forgive me. Can I get you both some tea? Oh, how about wine?
You don't have to, I tried to say, as Horace and I moved the hatch back over the large tear in the threadbare rug we busted through.
No, I insist,
she interrupted, and then she bustled over to the cold cupboard and went to pull out the flagon of wine that was stashed away after that afternoon's lunch. When she opened the cabinet for the goblets, however, we all received a shock as two stout figures tumbled out head over heels until they landed in the middle of the floor.
We be having company, Cornelius,
the short woman with the leathery wings and long satellite bat ears said as she set astride a stuttering Jenner.
Mr. Alex,
my trusty koala butler and all-around manager of all my responsibilities said from his very irresponsible position under the voodoo-like priestess. Mr. Jenner, I said with a large grin. Getting a bit of afternoon delight?
Ahem.
He cleared his throat as his gray ears trembled from embarrassment, and he fixed the drooping shoulder of Madame Midgen's dress and helped her stand up while she smoothed the collar of his blue jacket. Then he turned to me and cleared his throat again.
What a coincidence, all of us arriving here at the same time.
Yeah, coincidence, I snickered. I'm almost sorry we interrupted, the Falcon Man chuckled under his breath. The koala man cleared his throat even louder, which caused Horace and I to stop our snickering.
When I sent you both on your quest through the manor's dungeons, I didn't expect you both to dig your way through the floor. And what happened to your other shoe?
Long story, I said as I wiggled my toes in my sock. But basically, Horace and I found this weird chamber with an odd pedestal. Have you come across anything else about this wacky Winchester house?
If by that you mean to ask if I've found out the purpose of Gellivane's unusual architecture, then the answer is no.
He frowned at himself as if this mystery was actually keeping him up at night.
But mark me, I will get to the bottom of Vane's chaotic blueprints. I know he had another purpose for Monga Manor's design, but so far the only thing I can tell is they are all centered around the upper wing.
Keep searching for something that looks like, anybody got some paper? I asked.
Oh!
Jenner startled, as if he remembered something, hurried over to the ovular table and retrieved a small stack of supplies.
I have the pad of artist paper and the coals you asked for.
Excellent. Thanks for sparing some. I'm sure Zoe will get a kick out of it, I said, as I flipped to the first blank page and started sketching the odd skinny column with the talons as best as I could. When I was satisfied with my work, I ripped out the page and handed it to Jenner. Keep an eye out for something like that in those blueprints you're cataloging.
Will do, he said.
Now, what's the update on our resident patients? I asked the batty woman as Velralla passed around goblets of wine.
Miss Shea be as healthy as you or I, despite her need for extra sleep these days,
Midgen said.
She's asleep again? Horace asked with a frown.
Is that normal?
Like I said, she is healthy apart from needing her rest,
she said.
I will admit, Shea now has combined her life force with that of an ancient entity older than what I have come to learn about the world. I can only guess the transformation was exhausting for her.
As long as she's healthy, she can catch up on her beauty sleep as much as she wants, I said in relief. Ever since she merged with the mystical and legendary entity of Nada Isles incarnate, and then brought me back from the brink of death with her phoenix-like tears, she fell asleep for 3 days straight. The fact she was only taking naps here or there now was an improvement from the coma she was first in. And the others?
Some of the injured duelists and townsfolk who fought Vane's minion army are still recovering, but I'd be obliged to have a few more hands,
Madam Midgen said. I have more people from Ithaca and Icarian coming to Gatetown in order to lend a hand with this place, I assured her.
In the meantime, it would not go amiss to visit the temporary infirmary, Jenner said, and gave me a look I knew the exact meaning of.
I'm not their magistrate, I told him again for the umpteenth time, since Gelivane's duelist status transferred over to me. I may have taken his rank, but I'm not sure I'm equipped for Aventolian politics.
You may think that, but there's not been an Asher as fair and just as you apart from the Asher Lord for many seasons,
the Koala Man said, as he patted my knee in the fond way he had. And his frank assessment of me made me smile down at the diminutive butler/archivist, who had become like an eccentric uncle to me.
Besides, regardless of status, most know of the mighty traveler Brightwood. You defeated the tyrant of Gatetown, so your mere presence will boost morale.
I guess it couldn't hurt. I shrugged and rubbed the back of my neck as something occurred to me. Hey, didn't I hear a thing about how Vane recently went up in rank? Do we know who he dueled before me?
I'm not sure,
Jenner said as he rubbed the white tuft of fur on his chin.
I will have to backtrack through the records in Nata's council hall. Is it very important?
It might be, I said, even though I wasn't sure why. Just humor me when you get the chance.
That I can do, the Koala Man laughed and tweaked his monocle. I confess, now I am curious as well.
Madam Midgen suddenly yipped and rubbed at her right elbow with a three-fingered hand.
Madam,
Horace asked, as he took the goblet from the batty woman. Are you well?
It be this cursed wing,
she said, and marched toward the door leading out of the scullery.
There be a body nearby in much, much pain.
All of us, Velralla included, followed Midgen out into the corridor leading to the lower wings of the manor. And we ran smack into the Mech sisters in their matching scarlet dresses.
Oh, we were just coming to get you.
Amaya, the comely pale woman with the silver oryx horns, said as she turned to her sister.
Indeed.
The woman with the large, curving ibex horns rubbed her palms together until they glowed a faint reddish color.
It seems as if whatever Horace and you just did has awakened quite a few trap runes and such. One of interest, however, is that of a severe punishment rune.
What's that? I asked and frowned at how pale Horace's face went.
Don't tell me, the Falcon Man croaked,
But the Ibex woman cut him off with a nod.
Vane has sealed someone inside a torture casket,
Anwar declared, as her palms glowed brighter.
And we need your help to get them out.